Fax 1580 AM Columbus, W224 EG Madison, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Israeli media is reporting the War Cabinet has voted to expand operations in Rafah, home to over a million refugees. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan.
Because there's a million people there in very close quarters who've been pushed there because of the military operations in other parts of Gaza, you would have really significant civilian casualties.
And as the bombardment of Rafah intensifies, a U.S. report saying Israel's use of American weapons in Gaza likely broke international law. A spokesman says the White House is disappointed after a federal judge in Texas temporarily stopped a plan by the Biden administration to lower credit card late fees. The next major witness in Donald Trump's criminal trial in New York is expected to be his own former lawyer, Michael Cohen, due to take the stand next week. The Northern Lights coming out down to the south this weekend. An unusually strong solar storm making the aurora visible in the night sky as far south as Alabama. This is ABC News. The bodies of two backcountry skiers who were swept away and buried by an avalanche in the mountains outside of Salt Lake City have been recovered. 23-year-old Andrew Cameron of Utah and 32-year-old Austin Mallett of Montana were killed in the snow slide Thursday morning. A third person in the group was able to escape, pulling himself out of the piled snow and later rescued by a helicopter. An idea to help bees and other pollinators in getting an update after some of their complaints. ABC's Chuck Sievertson.
No mow May, not to cut your grass for a whole month to give flowering plants time to feed pollinators like bees, butterflies, beetles, and birds, was promoted for a while by the University of Minnesota Bee Lab. Some found it tough to comply. The Bee Lab's new idea? Slow mow summer, mowing less frequently. The Bee Lab says some pollinators may not wake up from hibernation until mid-June or later, and they'll need food. They recommend a yard with a wide variety of blooming plants.
I'm Dave Packer, ABC News.
Do you have a loved one in a nursing home? California mega millionaire Eric Hovde has some bad news for you. He doesn't think they have long to live. It's true. In a recent interview, Hovde said, if you're in a nursing home, you only have a 5-6 month life expectancy. Almost nobody in a nursing home is at a point to vote. That's shocking. But it gets worse. One of Hovde's companies is named a co-defendant in a wrongful death suit from an incident at a California senior living facility. He even referred to himself as an expert in the nursing home business. Yikes, that doesn't sound like the kind of expert we need. Call Eric Hovde at his California office, 714-730-4444. Tell him that Wisconsin seniors deserve to vote and get the care they deserve. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together Incorporated.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. New polling in battleground states turn up some surprising data about what's important to rural voters. Mike Moan reports.
The poll released by the Rural Democracy Initiative included feedback from Wisconsin voters. 57% of respondents said they favored a more economic populist vision, with policies centered around lowering costs and raising incomes for the working class. Breakthrough Campaigns researcher Patrick Toomey, who helped lead the poll, says that approach appears more popular than one often touted by GOP politicians.
Just cutting taxes and getting rid of regulations is not going to do the most to help me in this economy.
And while economic policies aligned with Democrats, like minimum wage hikes, are favorable in this poll, many rural voters indicated they think Republicans are doing more for working people. Analysts say that shows Democrats have work to do to rebuild trust in rural areas. Meanwhile, 3/4 of respondents either support abortions or don't want the government interfering with decisions on reproductive health care. Toomey says it will take some time for Democrats to reconnect with these voters and that it won't completely turn around in this election cycle. But he suggests it's not completely hopeless for the party to make gains in rural America ahead of November's vote.
One of the key learnings here is that there are enough voters in rural areas of battleground states who are up for grabs to determine the outcome of 2024.
He suggests if Democrats are savvy with their outreach, they might be able to convince rural populations that they're pursuing policies these voters have outlined as a top priority. More than 1,700 voters in 10 states were part of the poll. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, sunshine, a high near 70. Partly cloudy tonight, a low around 48. Chance of a shower or thunderstorm on your Sunday. Otherwise, mostly sunny, breezy, and a high of 83. Sunday night, scattered storms and a low of 55. For Monday, scattered showers and storms, 73.
It's 60 at our studios.
Broadcasting from the city where the official bird is the plastic pink flamingo, this is Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
All right, you're tuned in to the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM WMDX. It is your girl, Brandy Grayson, your hostess with the mostest. I don't know why I always say that, but I love saying that, okay? So you're tuned in to the Black Conversion Show, and just for my new folks who are listening, the Black Conversion Show, we center on Black issues, Black topics, Black people, Black analysis, and local news. And today, you will be hearing me and one of my guests, Maya Pearson, who's running for State Assembly. So we're really excited. You'll also hear conversations regarding Black experience around LGBTQIA and the movement and the, I guess, the challenges we have sometimes with joining forces, right? Uniting. And I also understand it to be an issue with understanding cultural language and how we communicate differently. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about how the movement is currently, you know, being led by white men, which causes a whole different complications for women, period, whether they identify as LGBTQIA or other. But that's a topic that I always like to talk about because there's so much we all need to learn, including myself. So we're going to be sipping on some tea around that. And then later on, we're going to be joined by Dana Pelleban, who's running for Dane County Executive. I'm super excited. I don't know if you guys know Dana, but she'll be here to tell you more about who she is and what she represents. But she has about 30 years of experience, and I'll let her go into that. So you want to stay listening because we have a lot going on. So I'll let my girl, Maya Pearson, tell you a little bit about herself. What I do know about Maya is that she currently sits on the school board, and I think it's your second term, right?
It is.
So go ahead, Maya. Tell us what you're doing, who you are, and why you so dope.
Thank you. Hey, everyone. My name is Maya Pearson, and I am a resident of Madison. I was born and raised. I currently sit on the Madison Board of Education. This is my second term. I was reelected in April.
Congratulations again.
Thank you. And I was reappointed as the vice president of our board. So
what does it mean, Maya, to be the vice president of a school board?
So what that means is I support the president,
okay,
which is Nichelle Nichols. She was elected again to be president.
Oh, okay, mm-hmm. Nichelle, shout out to her. Also a Black woman.
Yes,
just want to
yes.
identify that. Okay.
And so I assist with Nichelle, and then, you know, if she's not able to conduct a meeting, I conduct the meetings.
Okay.
And then I just kind of work with all the different board members and my colleagues. So
nice. Tell us mm-hmm. what you're okay. So you're running for the state assembly.
Mm-hmm.
You sit on the school board. Now, mm-hmm. are you able to hold both of those positions when you're elected?
I am.
Okay.
So the assembly position is a partisan position.
Okay.
So you have to elect either being a Republican or a Democrat or independent.
Okay.
School board is nonpartisan. Of course, we want our school boards to be nonpartisan.
Do we? No, I'm just kidding. Do we? And
we
why do.
Do
we? Why?
We do.
Why?
I think because it allows for folks to not have agendas. or certain agendas that are on party lines.
But that's not true, though. I mean, because everyone runs and they have an agenda that's on party line.
That is true. But it shouldn't be defined by the party lines, if that makes sense.
Okay, we're just going to go with that because, you know.
I mean, I consider myself a Democrat.
Right.
I consider myself a very progressive Democrat.
Okay.
However, you know, when I show up, I'm showing up for all the children of Madison,
okay.
all the families of Madison.
Okay.
And so if you have kind of more of a partisan kind of view,
it
hinders work that could be done for everybody, if that makes sense.
It doesn't, because we're gonna talk more about that. You're tuned in to 92.7 FM WMDX, listening to the Black Convergence Show. Me, Brandi Grayson, and my host Maya. So Maya, let's get back to this partisan just real quick. I don't mean to derail you,
but
like when we talk about being nonpartisan, it just bothers me a little bit because I just don't believe people can be nonpartisan. I don't believe that you could sit in a space and not allow your opinions, your agenda, your personal experience not to influence how you move in that seat. I believe the only folks that have that capability are children. Because they're so like, they're just so pure. They will say and
they
do.
They're very honest.
Very honest. They haven't been adulterated yet. So how do you practice being nonpartisan in a school district that's partisan?
Okay, so I can only speak for myself.
Right, right.
And so what I would say is for me, I try to listen.
Yeah.
I try to collaborate across whatever.
Yeah.
And I try to include people into the conversation. So including people into debates or include opinions as much as possible to help inform me. So, you know, we all come with our own lenses.
Absolutely.
And we all come with our own quote unquote biases.
Absolutely.
But I think what's important is that we check ourselves, especially if we are trying to do good by for everybody.
That's good. Mm-hmm. So if I ever run for school district, just know that I will not be checking my my biases. I am always for the people, by the people, unapologetically Black.
Absolutely.
Centering the Black needs, the Black voices. Mm-hmm. And I say that and I mean that. And that's because in a world, and specifically in local Madison, Wisconsin, in order for our people to be seen, acknowledged, which all humans require regardless of class, race, or whatever, I believe that we need people who say it unapologetically, because we live in a system of politics that basically tell us if we are centering Black people, then we're automatically anti-white somehow, right?
Yeah.
And that other races and cultures, they get to center their culture. Mm-hmm. They get to say, I'm Hmong, I'm here representing Hmong people, Hmong needs, and no one bats an eye. And as soon as someone says, I'm centering Black people, Black this, Black that, we say Beyonce is a beautiful Black woman, we're just gonna continue to rock her country music, and she'd be like, no way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think it's imperative for us to have folks that stand up and say it unapologetically. And not all people, right? I think I'm created to do that, and I'll gladly take that torch. But no, if I run for office, y'all know what I'm there for, okay?
No, period. I mean, I think that honestly, like as a Black woman who grew up in our schools, you did too.
Yes, I did.
Graduated.
I did.
House.
And UW-Madison.
Exactly.
So we know what it looked like and
we
feel
know
like.
What it looks like, right? And, you know, as a mother of teenagers who are Black, my mom also went through with your mom.
Yeah, they sure did. They were roll dogs back in the day.
They were roll dogs back in the day. So, of course, like for me, Black children are at the core.
Yeah.
And we all know that when you elevate Black children, everyone gets elevated too.
You know that.
I know that.
So I want to just make it clear that Maya Pearson sits on the MMSD school board, and she does represent all children, all families. And I'm just speaking specifically from my standpoint. So, what I like about you the most, Maya, is that you say what you mean what you say, and that you're able to honor that, right?
Absolutely.
I've had some difficult conversations with you and other board members because of the positions I stand on, right? So when you represent all families, that means that you can't make decisions specifically for one group of folks, but you can make decisions that I would just say that are based in equity, right?
Absolutely.
And then that sometimes is difficult. So I really appreciate your ability and your skill to do that, because
Absolutely.
I'm not
Thank
very
you.
Skilled. At that. So thank you for
we being, all grow.
Yeah,
we all grow.
Maybe I will, maybe I won't.
well, I appreciate that about you.
So also, let's just get back to your campaign on the state assembly and running for. And what is the state assembly? What does that represent?
So the state assembly is a legislators who work in the Capitol.
Okay.
And so you think of people like Francesca Hong.
Yes. Okay.
You know, like people like that.
Yeah.
And they are the ones who are starting the process as far as like bringing laws and legislation.
Okay.
And then it goes through a process of how they get approved.
Okay.
And so each state rep has their own district area. And so I'm running for the District 78, which I call the 78th Collective.
Okay, Collective. I like the word.
Which is a fairly new district. It split the 77th in half or almost half. In a small portion of Southside as part of it.
Southside of Madison.
Madison.
Wisconsin.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Madison, Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. And then Far East Side, a part of that, Madison. And then the entire city of Monona.
Wow.
Blooming Grove. Wow. And then the northern part of McFarland.
That's...
And a little bit of Fitchburg.
So the northern part of McFarland, is that where black and brown people live or no?
So from my understanding, yes, okay. There are. And the reason why is because I used to drive for YWCA.
Yeah.
And I used to take people home around there. So.
Oh, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. So you have a small portion of McFarland with black and brown people. If y'all live over there, check mm-hmm. Maya out. You also have a small portion of Fitchburg and Monona, which is by Southtown. You have that area, the whole district.
The entire
district.
City of Monona.
Mm. Okay. This is in the east side and parts of the south side?
Yep.
Oh, yeah, that's a collective for real. Who did that? Okay, we'll talk about that later. Okay, so who is your incumbent?
So the incumbent so happens to be Representative Stubbs.
Okay, an incumbent is someone who already has that seat.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to get a little messy here because I'm Messy B. Call me Messy B. So, and again, you're listening to the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM. Maya Pearson is running for State Assembly, mm-hmm. District 78. She's mm-hmm. calling it 78 Collective. Mm-hmm. Now, messy time. Why are you running for this seat against her? And she's been there for a while. How long has she held this seat?
I think it's since 2018.
Oh, Lord. Lord, Lord. Okay, go ahead.
So actually, I will correct you. Okay. I am not running against her.
Okay, you're not?
And so she's considered the incumbent
okay.
in the district because she so happens to live in the district still.
Okay.
The district is about like 75, almost 80% new to her.
Okay.
So it truly is a new district.
Okay.
It's not her complete constituent
district.
Base.
Okay.
So even though she's considered the incumbent, it truly is a new district.
Okay.
So for me, the decision of running had to do with the fact that public education is not funded by the state.
Okay.
In the ways that it needs to be.
Okay.
And so as we have been building our budget, and we, it's no secret that we have to go to referendum for this school district.
Okay.
And building that budget, I was like, the state really needs to give us money. Who is talking about these things at the state? And I will give credit. There has been conversations about school funding, but it has been cut in half every time by our state legislature, you know.
Is that not part of her platform, education?
We don't
trust her to do it?
Well, you just have to check her out. I won't speak on that. But,
okay.
Yeah.
So I'm going to speak on it. I don't think it is. So if you're into education, if you're into the things that is important for your children as it relates to funding and resources, I'm going to ask that you do vote for Maya Pearson. Now, I'm not the type of person that is going to dismiss the work of Sheila Stubbs or anyone mm-hmm. that's in a state assembly. But I also just want to recognize when there's time for newness, sometimes it's necessary to pass the torch. So continue to listen because there's more tea. We have Dana Pelaban in the office, in the studio, not the office. We'll be back in a GIF.
But I look fly, I look good. You can't touch my back, but you could. I look fly, I look too good.
Mad Radio, WMDX, Madison's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Hi, I'm Emily from Weikert Realtors Lake Point in Madison. Your home, your property, your decision. At Weikert Realtors Lake Point, we'll guide you every step of the way, whether you're buying or selling a home or exploring commercial property. Your dream is within reach. You'll find our realtors love what they do, and more importantly, we think it's fun helping our clients achieve their goals. Who wouldn't want to do that every day? Give me a call at 608-721-8002. Weikert Realtors Lake Point, 2045 Atwood Avenue. Find more info at weikert-lakepoint.com.
An unsuspecting driver at a gas station in Wisconsin. Welcome, Pump 15. How you doing?
Great.
Were you wearing your seatbelt today?
I never wear my seatbelt.
We're going to get him. We're going to get him real good.
Oh, my goodness.
Hello, sir. How you doing?
Dollar driver. It takes 1 second to strap a seatbelt on. Well, let's do this. Let's do it together. Now, don't that feel better?
Donald Driver can't always be there to remind you.
Click it or tick it.
And let's reduce fatalities on Wisconsin roadways.
And I should have recognized your voice when you were harassing
me. I'm watching you.
Sponsored by Wisconsin DOT.
Mad Radio, WMDX, Madison's home for the John and Gordy Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
All right, now you are tuned in to the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM WMDX, straight out of Madison, Wisconsin, chilling downtown off of State Street, right across from the Overture Center. It is so nice outside. I'm so happy for you to join me today. I am Brandi Grayson, the hostess with the mostest. I am the CEO and founder of Urban Triage, and I use this station in this time, not I use this station, but my time on the air with you to express my personal opinions, some founded, some not, who knows. But also the purpose of our show is to center Black needs, Black experiences, and Black experiences within our local area, Madison and the Dane County area. So on our show, you'll feel uncomfortable sometimes. So I welcome you to continue listening and get uncomfortable. And at any moment where you feel like I can't stand her, I got you exactly where I need you to be. So continue to listen. Today in the studio, I have Dana Pelabon. She is running for Dane County Executive Board. So exciting. We also have Maya Pearson in the house. She is running for State Assembly District 78. She currently sits on the Madison School District Board. Two powerful Black women in our community doing amazing work, some of it not, you know, given the support, the love that it should be, but I'm here to offer some space for that. So Dana, I'm going to ask you to just jump on in and tell us a little bit about your platform and why you decide to run for county exec. I mean, that's a huge job.
It is a huge job, but I have the experience to be able to do that job very well. So my name is Dana Pelabon, for those who do not know me. My day job are things like I am the executive director of the Rape Crisis Center, now known as RCC Sexual Violence Resource Center. I do theater here in town. You recently saw me in the forward production of Clyde's. Yes. I've been doing theater here for the last 20 years and have built a business doing that. I co-owned a music venue here, The Frequency, that closed back in 2018. So I've been a part of our community for a little over 30 years now.
A long time. And you were on the board, right?
On the Dane County board until April mm-hmm. of this year. I did not run for re-election because I wanted to leave space to give the weight and gravity that is needed to be able to talk through what the county executive does mm-hmm. and the race to make sure that everybody knows what they're voting for, why they're voting for it, and choosing the best candidate for this position.
I'm biased, right? So if you know me, you know I'm very biased, and I honor my biases. So I am biased towards Dana Pelabon. So Dana, tell us why you're running.
So as a part of me being here for the last 30 years, mm-hmm. I have an extensive executive experience. So I've been the executive director here at RCC. I've been with them for about 5 years this year. Before then, I was the director of housing and operations for Porchlight. Mm-hmm. And previous to that, I spent about 17 years also in housing as marketing director, regional supervisor, property supervisor. I have managed hundreds of people. I have done budgets. I have prepared strategic visions. Mm-hmm. I've been on boards. I was on the DAES board, Domestic Abuse Intervention Services, mm-hmm. when we built the shelter. For full transparency, I am on the Urban Triage board.
That's my board, okay? Bias.
That's right. and I am also on Freedom Inc.'s board, World Builders, which is a national organization, and we raise $1 million a year every year for Heifer International.
Oh, nice.
So, you know, I have a lot of experience being an executive. And the biggest misconception about this position in particular is that it is a legislative position, and it's not. Essentially, what the county executive does
is manage everything.
Yes, they manage people, mm-hmm. they manage budgets, mm-hmm. they manage priorities and strategic vision. Now, do they have to be aware of legislation? Absolutely. Everyone should be aware of that when they are in these positions. But that's not the job. And as far as the job goes, the reason why I am running is because I have been deeply embedded in understanding these systems and moving these systems towards more equitable spaces, whether that be creating programs. I created a program in my 20s that is still running now. Called the Second Chance Project.
Oh, that was you?
That was me.
Girl, you know how many people benefit off that program? Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
That's amazing.
Absolutely. And that was just me randomly in my 20s watching Dateline and saying, here's a problem that I'm seeing where my single mothers are unable to get housing.
That's pretty dope, Dana.
Yeah. So how do we make this happen? Mm-hmm. And part of that is building coalitions, mm-hmm. Which I do a lot mm-hmm. in a lot of different spaces. Because I run a point of service agency for our county, I'm very well aware of how the county moves and processes through things. So me walking into a county executive position, there is not a learning curve. There is a small learning curve because anytime somebody's walking into something new, you do have to learn things.
Yeah.
But as far as how to work with the sheriff's office, how to work with the Department of Human Services, how to integrate ideas and work into the DA's office. These are all spaces that I work in every day. These are all people that I have already built relationships with and have come to compromises, coalition building, relationship management through tough conversations.
Yeah.
So I believe that I am the best person for this position, not just because I have the background, but I have the temperament. And I have the relationships built in the community to be able to coalesce us to move mm-hmm. towards the solutions that we already know exist. Mm-hmm. We know the solutions that are needed in our county.
And we know it works.
Absolutely.
And I think what's so important is the nonpartisan I just keep bringing up the nonpartisan, you know, because I'm so nonpartisan. But I keep bringing up that and I keep thinking about you guys and who you are and what you represent. So I often address people by their race, and I know that irritates some people and it might even irritate you. But what I love about the both of you is that you stand on integrity, value, and representing a collective, right? And even though I refer to you as a Black strong woman and a Black woman and you're dope, when you go into meetings, you're able to separate out your race and prioritize what's needed for the whole as it relates to equity, fairness, and fair allocation of resources. I mean, that's what I've experienced when I've been in the rooms with you guys. And sometimes I've been like, I don't like it because I'm biased, you know. However, I think that's why I'm not into politics. And if I run for politics, y'all know what it is. But you guys, though, you are folks who have your ears to the ground. So you're not separated from the community. And oftentimes we have people running for offices that have no clue. I can go back with Maya. Her family's been here for years. My mama know her mama. I could go back with years with you. My mama know you and your family. And there's a sense of a deeper rooted community. And that's how it is for a lot of folks in Madison as it relates to the both of you. And I really, really appreciate that. And for anyone who's running for office that's going to represent the people, right? Quote unquote, the people, then you have to be connected to said people, because how are you making a collective decisions and aligning your agenda if you're not? So that's my take, y'all. Okay? That's my take.
And coming to one community event does not mean that you are connected to us as a people.
That's right. And don't be coming taking pictures. I dislike when folks do that. But anyway, you're tuned in to the Black Conversion Show. We have Dana Pelabon in the house running for county exec. We have Maya Pearson running for state assembly. I'll be back. You don't want to miss the tea. Leave your worries and troubles
behind. See the light shine. Broadcasting from Civic Media Global Headquarters on State Street, this is Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer.
Israeli media is reporting the War Cabinet has voted to expand operations in Rafah, home to over a million refugees. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan.
Because there's a million people there in very close quarters who've been pushed there because of the military operations in other parts of Gaza, you would have really significant civilian casualties.
And as the bombardment of Rafah intensifies, a U.S. report saying Israel's use of American weapons in Gaza likely broke international law. A spokesman says the White House is disappointed after a federal judge in Texas temporarily stopped a plan by the Biden administration to lower credit card late fees. The next major witness in Donald Trump's criminal trial in New York is expected to be his own former lawyer, Michael Cohen, due to take the stand next week. The Northern Lights coming out down to the south this weekend. An unusually strong solar storm making the aurora visible in the night sky as far south as Alabama. This is ABC News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
The Brewers clobber the Cardinals again. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers jumped out to a lead and never looked back. The final 11-2 over the Cardinals Friday night at AmFam Field. Willie Adames with three doubles, scoring a pair of runs and two RBI. 24-year-old left-hander Robert Gasser holding St. Louis scoreless through six innings in his Major League debut. Manager Pat Murphy on Gasser's backstory.
He was disappointed he wasn't brought up last year, and it was until May that he was healthy and ready to go, and he came in determined. He threw the ball great. The breaking ball was really good. Filled up the zone. Really happy for him. Really, really happy for him.
NBA, the Bucks head coach Doc Rivers has fired three assistants that served under Adrian Griffin. Gone are Josh Oppenheimer, Sidney Dobner, and DJ Baker. Joe Prunty, who has served as interim head coach, remains with the team. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, sunshine, a high near 70. Partly cloudy tonight, a low around 48. Chance of a shower or thunderstorm on your Sunday. Otherwise, mostly sunny, breezy, and a high of 83. Sunday night, scattered storms and a low of 55. For Monday, scattered showers and storms, 73.
Right now, it's 62.
Are you looking to kick up your nighttime entertainment? Good times await you at the Lazy Wolf Lounge, Madison's east side place for friends and family to meet for fun and food. Test your knowledge with Monday trivia. Let your inner rock star out with Thursday karaoke, plus live music, and meet all your friends at the Lazy Wolf for the big game. The Lazy Wolf Lounge, 1617 North Stoughton Road in Madison. Follow them on Facebook or at LazyWolfLounge.com.
What does cheese, beer, and you have to do with local radio?
I know. It's Todd Alba and the Trick V. Olsen's What Makes Wisconsin Great Tour.
To get out of your own little silo and just listen to folks, you find out Wisconsin is pretty darn great already.
It's great to be from Wisconsin, Todd. It's just such a fantastic place.
Miss them in your town, more visits, and your chance to connect coming up.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and the app. The John and Gordy Show.
Robin Voss is out there again, you know, getting angry about making pot legal.
Hang on a second, John. I have to pick up this glass ornament. I got it.
That scares the bejesus out of most of the members of my caucus because we know the wrong thing for Wisconsin is to legalize recreational marijuana.
Oh, my God.
Weekday morning, 6 until 8 on Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX and on the Civic Media app.
Here's a fun fact for you. The average chameleon can point their eyes in two different directions. On the other hand, the average human can't. So unless you're a chameleon, there's absolutely no way you can focus on texting and driving at the same time. So don't do it, unless you're a chameleon.
Visit stoptextsstoprex.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
On air at 92.7 megahertz frequency modulation and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. This is Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
This song is so smooth. You're tuned in to Black Convergence Show on 92.7 FM WMDX. You're listening to your girl, Brandi Grayson, your favorite girl, your favorite hostess. I mean, how could you not like me? So you can't not like me. I mean, you can, but then it doesn't even make sense. So you might as well like me. So anyway, in the house, we have Maya Pearson and Dana Pelabon running for office. And they've just been talking about some of their platforms, the reasons why they're running. And I want to ask Maya a question. So you've ran a couple of times. I mean, you both have for office, different mm-hmm. office positions. I'm really not good at, do you call it office positions? Is it a...
Elected positions.
Elected positions. Okay, elected positions, you know, finding the right terminology. Mm-hmm. So you've run for a number of elected positions. Can you tell us what has been the most challenging in Madison to lead your campaign? What has been the, not the challenging, because there's a lot of challenges, mm-hmm. but what has been the most traumatic? Ooh. Yeah. What's the traumatic. Most traumatic? Yeah. Part of running a campaign and running for office. I know. I mean, I ran for one office and I cried and mm-hmm. it was tough. So tell me what it looks like for you.
Yeah. So I ran my first election campaign in 2020. Mm-hmm. It was right before the pandemic for school board. There was a three people that were in it. I did lose that election. And I think for that in particular, it was the, I would say I worked really, really hard. I was proud of that campaign. Mm-hmm. I was proud of the people who were able to come out and support me. And I think it was not winning that kind of felt like, what happened?
Yeah.
Why did it happen? And then also just trying to like conceptualize
so the
support
that people. So the most traumatic part was losing?
Yeah. When you had the support, when you thought yeah. you had the support yeah, of folks, okay. right? And so that part was like, huh, I thought people supported me. And I was like, huh, I thought I was doing a great job. But what I realized is that, you know, the most important thing is constantly being able to connect with people.
Yeah.
No matter what. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, COVID did make it really difficult to do that. Mm-hmm. One, because I was respecting the fact that people were dying.
Yeah.
And I did not want to, you know, make any harm on anyone or on myself.
Yeah.
So I would say fast forward to the second election, which was my first term on the school board, I actually ran unopposed. Mm. And so what I realized in that was that people did support me because no one ran against me. Right? At least I hope that's the reason why.
Or nobody wanted that role.
Or like, no one wanted
good.
That role. Right.
We good.
But I would say like just running for office as a Black woman yeah. in a city that is not majority people like you can come with some difficulties.
You're so gentle. It could come with some difficulties. Running on a running Lexi campaign when being Black in white Madison, where it's the number one place to live if you're white and the worst if you're Black. You know, it could come yeah. with some difficulties. So how about you, Dana? What's the most traumatic experience? You know, I'm not even going to say the most traumatic in all your campaigns for right now, running for county exec. It's a huge role. And there's a few of you guys that are rolling, running. I'm not going to name the other ones because I'm biased. They don't matter. You're winning. But for you, what has been the most traumatic experience so far?
So actually the most traumatic experience happened this week.
Oh, Lord.
I know. So, you know, part and parcel of being a Black woman that says words and those words have truth to power, that means that you are going to get people that will defame you, mm-hmm. Come at you for a variety of different things wrapped up in racism and homophobia, because I am a queer woman, in addition to being a Black woman. So, you know, on a daily basis, my page has people who... say homophobic things, who say racist things, who question whether or not I'm Black.
You are kind of light-skinned.
I mean, also, everybody in New Orleans looks like me, which is where my family's from. Right. So, you know, understanding that white folks actually don't get to tell people what it is that their color is.
That's right.
And this week was a little more traumatic because there was someone who left some not great comments on my page that insinuated that I should be harmed. And then started harassing my work. And so they escalated their behavior outside of online to real life. And I will say at the moment, I actually happened to be out of town learning about another party that's coming up called the Working Families Party. And my staff was calling me scared. They didn't know what to do. And normally, when I am in spaces, I don't engage law enforcement unless I have to.
Yeah.
But I wasn't in that space. And so law enforcement was engaged. Nothing did happen to this person because clearly there's something else that is working for them that is not particularly healthy. There were a couple of layers of trauma. It was the trauma of me not being able to keep the people that I care about, which are my colleagues and my staff, safe. The trauma of understanding that me being in this public eye means that there are people that are invested in harming me. And that's a daily thing. And then, my own personal safety, and then how it is that I feel about what is happening in our services. So the first night, literally, I sat up all night thinking about what are the points in the system that we're failing. And, we've been working with other victim service agencies to talk about gaps in our system. So I have that on my phone because everything is on Google Drive, and I am up all night looking at things. So I was going through my gap list. Mm-hmm. Okay, so this is where this gap is. This is why this is happening here. What is it that we can do to fill this gap? What does that look like? What agencies are involved? What does it mean to be holistic?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then the next day, I actually felt really bad because the trauma of it all hit my body.
Yeah. Yep.
So I lost a couple of days of work. Just because it was hard to focus and concentrate. My staff lost time to be able to support survivors in the way that they needed to.
Yeah.
Because, again, people are invested in making sure that Black women in particular don't succeed. And that's the one trauma. The other trauma is this idea that we do not have agency in our community to pick our leadership, and that just because someone is in leadership or has been in leadership, that is a foregone conclusion that they get the next thing.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That part.
And so, this is something that both I have dealt with, Maya has dealt with. I know, Brandy, when you ran that, something that you dealt with.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
That we don't get a seat at the table, and I don't necessarily need a seat at your table.
Right.
But what I do want to make sure of is that if there is a seat, that I get the ability to sit there.
Yeah, with the same equity. Absolutely. And opportunity. And I would say opportunity in Madison, I would say, I can't remember if it's a Democratic Party or Democrats or Dem something, and they control like the data and they control, who does what. And oftentimes they may say, I know you guys can't speak on this, but they do things that are anti-Black in a lot of ways. They do things and they discourage Black people and Black women and others from running because if there's an incumbent that they support or think should already be have access to that seat or whatever that is. And it's pretty disappointing that we as Democrats, I don't even like to call myself a Democrat because sometimes I'm progressive, sometimes I'm moderate, sometimes I hate the whole system. So, but I want to just acknowledge that the system itself is not set up for equity. So anytime that we get people that's willing to push the envelope, come with innovation, come with new approaches, it really is important that we sit down and hear them and engage in conversations that just allow us to grow, because sometimes we get used to doing the same old, and not doing anything, right? And nothing happens, and we're wondering why nothing's changed, because you keep doing the same thing. I think they call that insanity. You are listening to the Black Convergence Show on 92.7 FM with your girl, Brandy Grayson, the hostess with the mostest. And Maya, you did mention that the trauma that you've experienced is really related to like not feeling supported, losing your first race, but feeling like you were able to bounce back. What I heard you say, Dana, is, hey, just being Black and running for this level of elected position is traumatic. You've gotten trolled, you've been hate, you've been stalked, your staff are in danger. While you're out there supporting folks of domestic violence and other situations, now you have to figure out how to protect yourself. There's other gaps in services. And I want to say that as a woman and all women, you know, regardless of class and race, when it's time for us to seek support, protection, our systems actually don't aren't equipped, right? So if you have a stalker, if you have a harasser, they literally have to cause physical harm to you before anything can be done, right? And usually it's too late. And if you defend yourself and you do it outside or do it in a way that's not befitting to others, you can end up in jail. We had a recent case a few months ago of a woman. I can't remember if she stabbed or shot. She might have shot him. I wasn't sure. But she sits now in Dane County Jail. And I don't know the details of their interaction, but I know that the situation is very familiar. So I just want to say this, is that as a people known as Black, the level of trauma and challenges that we must endure to do anything, to speak up, to take on leaderships is beyond, I don't have a word for it. It's beyond dehumanizing the things that's thrown in our way, as Dana just described, and how it removes us from the actual work. Like, I have myself, representing a nonprofit organization, spent a lot of time managing my staff, programs, contract management, and all that. And then I often have to be taken away from the work to deal with false allegations, you know, and mostly from white people, like, and not mostly from white, I'm lying. It's mostly from people who, I don't even have a word for it, because it's like, you know what? We need to make a word for that.
Well, and there's a difference between constructive criticism,
right,
a complaint about a service,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And the idea that we have to be stopped.
Yeah, that's it. But what do we call that?
Racism.
Right. Okay, that part. It is definitely racism actualizing. And I don't know if we've identified a way to express it. Because it's almost like hate, yeah, right? Like, you hate me. Like, I'm not a perfect person. I never claim to be a perfect leader as a Black woman who's developing in her leadership. Mm-hmm. And as I think the challenge, it is racism, because outside of Blackness, you get to grow.
Yes.
And Black people are expected to show up perfect.
Absolutely.
And anytime,
if your agency doesn't do something right the one way, mm-hmm, then all of a sudden you shouldn't have anything.
You deserve
anything.
Nothing. You shouldn't you have anything. Nothing. Despite the fact of your impact, despite the fact of your work, and despite nobody else can do, for example, with Urban Triage, there's no other agency that does what we do. So we hold that and rock that hat proudly, right? But there has been so many anti-Black, anti-Urban Triage, mm-hmm, folks who literally seek to destroy us and physically harm me, right, at times, but not on a level that Dana is currently, mm-hmm, experiencing. But it is devastating. And as a woman, like I said on my Facebook a couple weeks ago, I was at a place and a male approached me and got in my face and started yelling. And in that moment, I had no protection, right? And I keep telling people that I really need to learn how to box. I was watching a video of this Black lady in Europe, and these white dudes came up to her and backed her into the wall, and he was talking and yelling, and then he started punching her like a punching bag. It was horrific. And thank God she knew how to defend herself, because mm-hmm, she grabbed him by the legs and slammed him, mm-hmm, and started beating his butt. She beat his ass, okay? And it was the most... And I don't believe in violence. I do believe in self-defense. But it was one of those moments where I was very proud of her for developing the skills to protect herself. Mm-hmm. So we have to, as people known as Black and women across the nation in all genres and classes, we need to practice self-defense.
And we need to teach people that they shouldn't be perpetrating in the first place, because we should not have to be defensive. Instead, people need to be at inquiry with their behavior and how it is that they are moving through the world so that we don't have to worry about our safety.
And held accountable, because that's the problem. There's no accountability in our systems for folks who harm women. You're listening to 92.7 FM, The Black Convergence Show. Stay tuned. We have more analysis. You don't want to miss this.
Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX. The road construction season is underway, and you've probably noticed orange cones and barrels are back too. The world's leading manufacturer of these safety products is Lakeside Plastics. The family-owned business is based in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. Do you know why the cones were originally created more than 75 years ago? As a safety marker to keep drivers away from newly painted lines on the road, as an object for drivers to weave around to mark the tops of houses for small airplane pilots. The answer's coming up.
Message that we can get out. We need to have a safe work zone.
Safety is number one for Eric Witt. He's the I-41 project supervisor for the work between DePere and Appleton, where you'll be seeing a lot of those orange cones. Did you guess why the cones were originally created? To keep drivers away from wet paint lines on the road. Now, cones like those made at Lakeside Plastics in Oshkosh warn about any kinds of hazards ahead. That is one safe slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
So I have super parallel parking skills, and on the east side where I live, I will often sit on my front porch and like a play-by-play call as if it was a sport. Parallel parking to me is a sport. I'm the Stephen A. Smith of parallel parking. That should go on a t-shirt.
We'll get you one made.
Oh my gosh.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays at 2 on Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX and on the Civic Media app.
Mad Radio WMDX, Madison's home for the John and Gordy Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
All right, I am back. Brandi Grayson on 92.7 FM. You're listening to the Black Convergence Show. We're on air. I'm on air. You're on air because you're listening to me. With Maya Pearson running for State Assembly, Dana Pelaban running for County Exec. We were discussing trauma, how it shows up in the world, in the work of campaigning and leadership for Black women. And I was just saying that I was just expressing and sharing that I saw a video of a young woman in Europe who defended herself against men who were trying to perpetrate against her body. And in that moment, I felt overflow of joy for her ability to protect herself, because if she wasn't able in that moment to protect herself, she would have been majorly injured. I mean, it was a bad attack, y'all. And I was talking about how as women, we need to learn self-defense, take boxing classes, because there's been multiple occasions where I've been approached by men that were, it was just unsafe conditions. And almost to the point where you can't even speak back, like, no, I don't want your number, or no, I don't appreciate your the things, how you're approaching me. You literally I've learned to smile and say, oh no, and still flirt, or still feel like I'm forced to do something that I actually don't want to participate in.
That's a trauma response. It's actually something that we call fawning. It is the thing that you do to keep yourself safe.
Fawning, that's a new word for me.
It is. So, you know, when you think about trauma responses, there's usually four: fight, flight, freeze, and fawn. So the fight, you know, that's what she was able to do. And those who take martial arts in particular, one of the things I like to make sure that folks know is when you put that into your body, I hope that it always is able to come out like you saw in that video. But if it doesn't, because your body doesn't always respond the way that you would like for it to respond, because again, it's a trauma response and you don't have control over that. Please know that's not because you don't know enough self-defense.
Right.
It is because your body is responding to a trauma.
It's like an automatic, your automatic nervous system kicks in.
Yes. It is your reptilian brain going, I need to be safe.
Yeah.
And that, the fawn response is the one that I have whenever I'm on the street and somebody approaches me and asks me for numbers or is very aggressive. Because I know what happens when you say no.
Yeah. We die, we get hurt, we get injured, and it's compounded by race. So it's so complex, so challenging to exist in a world where we're unable to identify all humans as humans and allow them to exist and self-actualize as they see fit. I really believe, regardless of class, race, gender, identity, people need to be left alone, right? So if you identify as trans, it's none of your business how people identify. It's none of your business that a Black woman, in a sense, is running for office. Like, why are people so hard-pressed to control, dominate, hurt, and, like you said, Dana, stop. stop Black women from doing things. If you disagree with a Black woman, or a Black woman needs additional education about something, or they get something wrong, or a mistake is made, or a grievance is filed, the go-to is they need to be stopped. They no more funding, no more contracts, don't run for elections. No, it becomes this what's the V word?
Vengeous?
No, never mind.
it becomes ridiculous.
Okay, ridiculous. That's the word. So,
because no one else is held to those standards.
Yeah. No one is. And you would think that this is what gets me about racism. You would think racism basically says that, you know, identifies or teaches us or condition us to believe that people known as Black is less than. Mm-hmm. But it also says you're less than, and we expect more of you than anybody else.
That is correct.
It doesn't even make logically sense. So even if you believe that I was less than, shoot, I should be allowed to make some mistakes, because technically I'm not as smart as you, sir. So if you would think that by the nature of your own logic, they'd be like, yeah, that's expected of you. But instead it's like, oh my God, you crossed the street and the light was green. You jaywalked. You shouldn't be elected for office. You shouldn't be entrusted to manage anything, right? But you can go out and experience other folks, on the other hand, do some absurd things like Trump. I mean, Trump is a perfect example of America and a perfect example of what's acceptable for white men and white people, generally speaking. This man is being charged with RICO charges in Georgia, and he's basically got gag orders that he's just saying, I'm not following those gag orders. And he continues not to have to follow these gag orders. And then he continues to be able to do what he wants to do.
Well, but he got a $1,000 fine. So,
oh, Lord, a billionaire after, with a $1,000 fine.
After his 10th.
Oh, my goodness. What a $1,000.
But this shows up. We saw this show up at the county board.
Yep.
Me and Supervisor Kageya, especially, were the beneficiaries of two levels of rules, one for everyone else, and then one for when we spoke. This is something that is endemic to how Black folks are allowed to show up in spaces, and how people utilize rules when they would like to utilize rules to shut us up.
Just us.
And then they say, oh, but this is the rule. But it wasn't the rule for you last week.
Sure wasn't.
But it's the rule for you this week.
And the rules change when Black people enter the conversation. Mm-hmm. Urban triage, and me personally, I've changed a lot of rules. I've made it very difficult, because the rules, like you said, they're created to say, hey, no, actually, you can't do that. Or we didn't, you know. So it's just been, living in Madison has been one of the most
eye-opening,
interesting, traumatic experience in leadership, I think. I don't have a reference point for any other area. I think this is, like you said, an epidemic, American, global, because like I said, the video I watched was in France of that woman. So it's not just, racism isn't local. It is a global epidemic. And we see it in Gaza. We see it in the war. We see it with the protests. We see how people are responding to the protests. Yep.
But let me wrap through some things, though. We are starting to be in spaces and being able to have each other's backs in a different way.
Yeah.
So, you know, the best thing about representation, because we always talk about representation.
Yep.
So what does representation mean? It's more than just putting a Black face in the room.
Yes, it is.
It is about putting people in the space, multiple people, so that we can be in community with each other. Have that same type of Black caucus, like Progressive Caucus has, where we can say, this is what we're seeing, this is how we're going to respond, and bring people along with us.
Right.
And that is the true mark of leadership, is the fact that even through all of these traumas, we are still showing up and saying, you will not stop us, and we will ensure access, not just for us, but for the people that come behind
that
us.
That just gave me hope, the audacity to hope in spite of and despite the context of our existence. That's what leadership looks like. That's what power looks like. That's what community looks like. So, and that's why I'm biased towards these two women, okay? And that's why it's their role and not mine, okay? Amen, amen.
Amen.
So you're listening to the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM, WMDX, and we'll be back. So continue to listen. Hope and happiness. Never forget how special you are.
Whether you're hanging out on State Street or hanging out on the lakes. Thanks for listening. This is Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. You're listening to Mad Radio, WMDX 1580 AM Columbus, W224 EG Madison, and always streaming on the Civic Media app. ABC.